Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, time for our weekly conversation with a man that could be in Texas. He could be in Washington. He could be in an RV. He could be at a bar. We don't know. Jeremy Affeld. Jeremy, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Tremendous. And you're a guy good? That I might add has 3 rings. That we do know. We can guarantee you he has. What do you do? Where are you keeping those rings?
Well, I have 4, actually. One's a loser ring, though. Remember, I lost it in Colorado, so you can count it, but I don't. But technically, there's 4 rings.
You get a loser ring?
I got a loser ring in Colorado. Colorado beat I was on that Colorado team that lost to Boston 4 straight.
Oh, okay.
You still get a ring, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you get a loser ring. They try to call it a National League championship ring, but right. We all know what that means. Whenever you get, like, an American League champion or national, that means you lost. Like, really, it's just like, congratulations, you're the best loser. You know, like, it's kind of dumb, but it is what it is. But all the Colorado guys are like, what'd you do with your ring? I'm like, I have no idea where that one's at. They get all pissed at me. It's awesome.
It's a paperweight.
So, I actually have them I think they're in my office closet in like this little hand safe thingy. So I haven't worn them in a while because, you know, I only wear them when I fly to San Francisco and I work for the team or I do a speaking event. But there's, you know, I haven't been able to travel with COVID stuff going on. You know, you don't. So I think they're just collecting dust in this little hand vault thing. So
how do you decide which ones to wear or which one to wear? Or do you wear them all at the same time? You put like a mini Thanos.
Well, I kind of draw straws, you know, type that. But, I wear the 2014. One, I do think it is the best-looking ring, all of them. But also the 2014 was, you know, for me, like, that's where I went back to Kansas City. It was the original team I came up on, you know, like, and then, you know, so I started my career there. And pretty much, I mean, it was 2015, but the way I looked at it, man, you walk out, you're in Kauffman. You know, a lot of memories coming up for 4 or 5 years with that team, beat that team on the field. You know, some of my teammates that were with me were front office guys, so it's kind of fun to win in front of them. And then, you know, and then I was on the team and I got the win.
For you got that the game, win. You know?
So, yep. Like, kind of a lot of circles there. So I just, it represents a lot more than just a normal ring does, even though that every ring represents a lot, but that one represents more to me. So I wear that one.
That had to be so cool for you, didn't it? I mean, getting the win in that game. You got the win in a game 7, a clinching game. You win the World Series. I mean, that had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really – it was awesome. I mean, the GM for the Royals, he was the GM that traded me, and that was his first year as the GM. And he actually came down. He shook my hand and said, nice job. I mean, it was just – and that's the first time I had ever been back to Kansas City was in 2014. From the whole time, I got traded in 2006, and I'd never played in that city since. So it was kind of a real surreal moment for me, you know? And then they took my cleats and put them in the Hall of Fame for that. I didn't even know. There's that scoreless record thing, and the Hall of Fame guy was like, hey, we'd like to have your cleats. I think you might have taken my glove. I can't remember. I think it was my cleats and my glove. And I was like, we'd like to have your cleats. And I'm like, for what? And the guy's like, well, you know, you have the record now for the most scoreless whatever appearances. And I didn't know any of that. So they took my stuff in the Hall of Fame after that game. I mean, just everything, it was, like, overwhelming. It was awesome, you know? So
I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. Wasn't it, like, 22 and a third, something like that?
I think it was, 21 and a third, I think. It's two. I think I'm two out. Short of Mariano Rivera. Like, I needed two more outs to beat him. So, which would have been really awesome. But, you know, I just went ahead of Babe Ruth instead, which is, you know, it's okay too. Fine.
Never heard of him.
Now that we're talking 2014, what, you know, that was an incredible game, by the way. I mean, that was just, And you're sitting there going, you just knew Boch was going to pull the right strings at the right moments. He was that he was that good in October. And he had like a pregame swagger, Jeremy, like on the field. Like he exuded such confidence in the pregame, in the postseason. I got to think everybody from you guys to the opponents read it. But I wanted to ask you what it was like on the bench, you know, in those innings as Bumgarner's just putting them down one after another.
Yeah.
And you guys know he's on short rest. And, I mean, that had to be just an incredible atmosphere. What can do you remember anything from those innings?
Yeah, you know, I was super nervous. Like, I wasn't really nervous when I was pitching. And, you know, because you're focused, you're in the game, you just kind of have it. But when, I came out of the game and I went and I didn't even want to put ice. I was like, whatever, it's the last game. I don't know what I'm icing for. So I was going to go back and get ice, and I was like, that's dumb. So I kind of went back out there, and me and Kane sat there. And it was like, we're sitting there. I'm sitting with Kane. And I'm like, dude, I'm like super nervous right now. And I've already pitched. And he's like, well, think about us that haven't pitched at all. We're like, we have like ulcers right now, you know? And I'm like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, and Bum's pitching, and I knew he came in, and then he gave up that knock, I think, right away to Kane. And you know, I was like, oh man. And then it was like, just, he just went off, and he just started putting him up, putting him down. And the funniest thing, and I don't think Casilla would even be mad at me for saying this, but we were in the ninth inning, and I'm watching Casilla warm up, and I'm like, oh dear. And Casilla's firing it off the backstop. I mean, he's throwing it 15 feet over the catcher, and we're watching down there, and I'm like, tell him to stop throwing. He's actually going to hit a fan. Like, and the wall for the bullpen is like 30 feet tall. So we're like, he's going to hit somebody, you know, because I was like, this is unbelievable. And I'm thinking, we can't put him in because he's too amped up. And I think you've all seen Casilla, like, when he's on, that dude hard. Is yeah, nasty, break, you know. But when he's not on, you're like, oh, boy, this is going to be crazy because it could be a walk the bases, low to strike out the side situation, you know? So I'm like, dude, you can't put him in. This is a bad – he's too amped up. He's just too amped up. He's not his normal self, and he's overthrowing. And so Bum comes out in, like, the eighth inning. Comes down, sits down. He just sits there. And I think Boch or Rags, one of the – I was sitting next to Bum. I was looking at him. And Rags is, I think Rags is like, you all right? Bum looks at him and goes, yeah, fine. I'm like, I looked over at him. I'm like, how tired are you? He's like, I'm real tired. I'm like, well, I was like, dude, I don't think you can come out of the game. He's like, I'm not coming out of this game. I'm like, yeah, man, I just been watching Casilla warm up. I don't think it's a good idea. You gotta stay in this thing. He's like, I'll be fine. I'm just super gassed, man, but I got that. I'm good. And I'm like, all right. And so Boch turns around, and Boch kind of hangs on, and he does. He's like, hey, you want in or out? And Bum's like, I already gave you my answer. And Bum's like, and then Boch just kind of shakes his head. And then he looks out in the bullpen, and he sees Casilla fire one off the backstop. And Boch turns around and looks at Bum. He's like, all right, you got it. He's like, I ain't putting that guy in. I lost it, dude. I started laughing. I was like, this is the greatest thing. All he did is look at Casilla throw one ball at the backstop. He turned and looked at Bum. He's like, yeah, you're still in there. Can't pull you.
it's an example of a manager using his eyes to inform a decision that he needs to make. No analytics whatsoever. You see your reliever throwing the ball over the backstop like, I'm going to stick with the dude that's got us here so far.
Yeah. It was awesome, man. So it was great. And the way Bum just his focus, man, just that run on third, and then Salvador Perez that was already clicked him in game one, you know, on a high fastball. And you're just like, it's just, Bum is just, he's just so good, especially in the playoffs, man. The guy just, he's great. He should have probably, I mean, I don't understand why they gave me the win, and by the statistical numbers, you have to give me the win. But, man, if he would have got it, it would have been well worth it. He would have been well deserved. And I just told him when they gave me the win, they actually gave him the win at first, and they reversed it. So when they came in and said reversed it, Bum looked at me, and I was like, sorry, dude, I ain't giving that one back to you. I'm kind of selfish right now. I'm taking that. He's like, you already got the MVP. You have a Ford freaking commercial. You know, you throw axes and hay bales. You're a freaking national commercial guy now. I'm taking a win. So, and I said, and plus, I had to do a Chevy commercial for you because you wouldn't do it. So I had to be the stand-in to look like you in the commercial. That's even worse.
You're a stunt double. I remember that. That was incredible. Like, yeah. Hey, did Bump ever tell you how uncomfortable it was to stand there and watch that dude stammer over the lines and not get it right with his technology and stuff? Did he ever say what that was like standing there watching that guy just like, I mean, he was just drowning in his own vomit. I mean, it was painful to watch.
No, but it's pretty awesome. Like, I wouldn't doubt it. Like, I mean, it's a good guy, man. He's great, man. I tell you what, man. I love that guy. Like, I in the playoffs, he was just such. When he was pitching in that World Series, in that whole playoff, like, you just were like, that's a win. You know, like, we got it. You know, he just was so intimidatingly good because he was so calm, and he was just, I mean, he was probably standing up there a couple of times. I'm sure he did his little snot rocket and then was like, listen, I won game four when I was like 12. I'm pretty okay right now with the 2014 game seven situation. You know, like, that's just kind of, you know, how he is. So I appreciate that about him.
Good dude. I mean, he was so much fun to watch. I mean, that whole run, it's fun just to talk about those runs because, you get a lot of insight from you being there during those runs. And we'll go back. I want to ask you about 2012 because 2012 is something I said will never happen again because Major League Baseball, I was going to say they'll never be stupid enough, but that you should never say Major League Baseball will never be stupid enough because they probably would. But they're never going to say, hey, you have home field advantage. You're going to play the first two on the road like they did to Cincinnati. I mean, that was just like, well, thanks a lot. And then they'd win both, and then you guys go there and win three and then fall down 3-1 to St. Louis, come back and win that game. What was that run like? Because you're talking about six games where you guys lose and you're out. Six elimination games. And you managed to win every single one of them. And then you get to the World Series, you just steamrolled Detroit. But, I mean, was there some momentum there? I remember that game, and I mean, I've talked about the at-bat with Sergio and Bruce was incredible. But that one game that was super close and Roland kind of, you know, kicked a ball a little bit, which he never does, and you guys ended up winning that game. Talk about some of those gains because, that's crazy. You guys, six straight games, you guys – could have gone home, and you won every one of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably what started it was the game, that game. I think Homer Bailey had like a no-hitter through like nine or something, and it was 0-0. It was crazy. We couldn't touch the guy. And then it was the weirdest thing. Scott Rowland had it, and then he literally threw it over the catcher. And I was like, I've never seen him even not hit a guy in the chest. When he throws, the guy was like textbook every time, you know? And so I remember, but that was it for me. I think that's when you saw a little bit for me. Now they could have beat us in the last game order, but for me with Cincinnati, when you saw us win that way, you almost saw their team go, oh no, because we understand momentum shifts. And so it's like, if you're Cincinnati, like, we're up two games, nothing. We got a no hitter freaking through the first game. We're going to take, and all of a sudden you're freaking ace in the hole defensive person who never makes a mistake, misses it. We go up 1-0, win. They're almost like, oh no, don't let them in the door. Don't do that. And you could feel like that. They felt like they did it because that's the weirdest way to win. And you did it. And now the team came in, we won the next game. And then that next game when Buster hit that grand slam, it was just like, oh, I mean, it was you just heard the oxygen just leave the stadium, you know? And then you were like excited, but then you were like, well, you threw a pitcher out there that wrote "Giant suck" on every one of his baseballs when he was a San Diego Padre. So then he loads the bases and Buster's up. You kind of might have had a little karma working for you right there. Like, maybe you shouldn't have said that, you know? Possibly, you know? Like, and so when we clicked him, it was like you saw Buster. Buster never reacts. And when you see him, he screamed when he hit that. You know, like he was so excited who he hit it off of, plus that situation. And then when St. Louis comes in, you know, and we're down 3-1, our backs are against the wall, but it's a familiar situation to us. So we're like, hey, we don't treat this any other way than we do Cincinnati. You play the game. If you lose – we go home. But, hey, how about let's try to win it? And we're going to win today. We're not going to think about the next game. We're winning today to stay alive, and we did, and we won again. And then, you know, Zito's laying down bunts, you know, like running like a freaking ostrich down the line and freaking flying with his high legs, jumping everywhere, and, you know, beats it out. And he pitches lights out coming off of a 2010 campaign where he didn't get the pitch. And he's been just money for us the whole playoffs. Like, he was awesome. And I think he, for me, made us feel confident in that St. Louis situation. When he came out, you're down 3-1, and just shoved. I mean, that just gave everybody so much, you know, courage and momentum. Like, hey, man, this guy's pitching, because he's like, no, I'm not going home. And it was awesome. And then, yeah, we get to Detroit, and those guys have had 8 days off and sitting around, and we just kind of – they had such holes in their swing. Our staff was just so good. We just picked right through their holes. And we just – I mean, we were striking out guys that you shouldn't even strike out. Like, I mean, Cabrera, like – I mean, Bochy was nuts to even let me face the guy, and I struck him out. I was like, wow, I don't even know how I did that, you know? So, you know, you're like, I just threw it up there, and he swung and missed, and I was like, man – I really want to say I know what I did there, but I really don't. But it's really cool. It's just like awesome.
You know what, though? The most improbable thing about that run wasn't the coming back from 2-0 against Cincinnati or 3-1 against St. Louis. It wasn't even Pablo's three-home run game. The most improbable thing during that entire playoff run was Zito getting a hit off Verlander. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's what we were saying. We're like, this is the greatest, awesome. Like, Zito's getting a hit. Hunter Pence hits the ball three times in one swing.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
This is like everybody, you know, like, it was just like, yeah, it was almost like people were playing PlayStation. They put in the cheat code, you know? Like, it was like somebody put in the cheat code. Zito just got a knock off Verlander. It was awesome. You know, so.
You know, that 2012 team had some real characters, too. Because, Terrio, who we've had on a few times,
yeah.
He's a great guy to talk ball with. And he scored, I think he scored the winner, right? Scudero. And, you know, I also thought that was the year that Vogey kind of pitched like an all-star. You know, he really stepped up. And, like, you talk about a guy who got a little extra velo in October. I mean, that guy stepped it up by 2 or 3 miles an hour at the end of, like, the marathon of the season. I mean, that was pretty incredible. I thought the way he elevated in October was fun to watch.
That was as good as I've seen him pitch. And he was pitched a lot of good games, but his competitiveness, I mean, he continued eating his – I think he might have had maybe two more extra enchiladas before each one of his games. Maybe that's why he's throwing harder. But, you know, he stayed with it. You know, he had enchiladas. I mean, just everything was – that team was awesome, man. I mean, the kind of players that we had put together, guys that were – just had a lot of fun. But then you're right, Fontenot, Terrio, I mean, those guys came in. I mean, Terrio – I mean, he was perfect. He slid into home. We won the game, and then no one saw him for ever again. I was like, wow, Terrio just slid out and got on a plane and rolled out. Like, I didn't see him at the parade.
He walked away from the game at that point, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That's what I was saying. I was like, he really did it. He really slid home and took his uniform off and went home. I'm like, that is awesome. I was like, that's how you do it, man. So, like, but just the guys, I mean, you're right. Just the whole, all the characters, the guys were phenomenal. And I think all three of those teams, I mean, I can't, wow, what a fun group of guys to win with. It really was pretty cool.
Yeah, and everybody's going to remember him fondly. And the idea of Ryan Terrio just sliding and then just disappearing into the Louisiana Bayou, never to be heard again. mental visual I have in my head right now is hilarious. Yeah. I feel like I can speak for the fellas here confidently. We have been waiting all week long to ask you about the Oviedo-Yastrzemski testosterone presentation, where Oviedo thought Yaz was stealing signs. He probably was. Yaz didn't cop to it. Why should he? And there was some naughty words exchanged. There were some glares, some glances. Just your thoughts on it, and have that ever happened to you before?
You know, here's the thing. I never paid attention to any of the runners on the base, obviously.
I didn't want to say that, but
If there's a guy in second, I would have been like, are you waiting? I'd wave back, like, are you waving at me or, oh, you're relaying. Oh, my bad. Like, I didn't have any idea. And plus, I don't think the hitters really wanted to relay on me because they're like, listen, I'm pretty sure, like, Crawford went up to a guy and is like, let me tell you something. You can't relay when Affeldt's pitching because he doesn't even know where he's throwing it. So you can't even tell the hitter it's going to be in because it's probably going to be out. Like, there's no point in relaying what Affeldt's throwing because he honestly doesn't even know if it's going to get to the plate or on that side of the plate that he's supposed to throw it on. So I don't think guys relayed on me, but there were a lot of guys that relayed. Probably they do it. Like, it is what it is. In reality, for me, guys have said, well, isn't that cheating? No, it's kind of the, hey, if I catch you, I might do something about it. Like, I'm going to hit somebody. Like, or, hey, catcher guy, maybe we shouldn't set up so early, you know, in my pitch. Like, don't set up outside before I even come set. Or don't sit so high when you know a breaking ball is coming because you got to try to drop down and block it. Like, try not to get so spread out. Don't tip that way. And then if I'm tipping, that's on me, right? Like, hey, man, like, he's obviously showing, right? So there's some things that you got to say, well, I got to protect that. And obviously, if we didn't think it was part of the game, we wouldn't have multiple signs. So we all know it can happen and does happen. And so for the pitcher to turn around and yell something at the hitter, like, Yaz is right. Hey, man, you want to yell at me? Perfect. Because whether I'm tipping or not, I've got your entire focus on me and not executing the pitch. Great. You help me out. Now, if you think the best guys were the ones that were like, I know he's tipping, and I'm going to drill the guy, and I'm going to hit him, and then I'm going to turn around and look at second base and be like, that's on you for tipping? So I'd hit him in the neck. So I'm going to let him know it too. And I've seen starters look at the hitter walking up the line and be like, the only reason you got hit is because your boy's trying to relay. So make sure you pay attention. Make sure you make him not be so obvious, and maybe you wouldn't get hit in the neck. And then that, to me, are the best pitchers because they're like, didn't take my focus off the hitter. I focused on the guy's neck, and I hit him there because you relayed. So it gets shut down quick when that happens. It really does get shut down. But for that guy to step off the mound, I loved how Yaz looked at him and said, just keep pitching, man. Quit looking at me. Like, I loved it. And Yaz is right. He's like, it's a mental game out here, man. And if you're focused or worried about me doing that, whether I'm doing it or not, I did my job at second base, and I'm going to take bigger leads. I'm going to fake steal. I'm going to do everything I can to get your focus not on the hitter so that you'll leave a ball over the plate where we can get some extra runs. And a lot of guys think, well, he's tipping. And those hitters a lot of times are like, I didn't tip at all. I just got you to make a mistake because you weren't focused as much in on the pitch. And so you made a bad pitch and blamed on me tipping. Well, I'll go look at the pitch again. It was, you know, waist high, middle away. What do you want him to do? He's going to blast that ball, right? So I think that he did it right. And that guy can say, I mean, he told him to shut up. So I'm like, I haven't had a lot of guys yell the sign. So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if he was yelling the sign, but I just didn't know why he told him to shut up. But, I mean, maybe that's just his way of saying stop.
Because he was in his kitchen. That's why he told him to shut up.
Yeah.
He didn't know what else to say.
Yeah.
He was in his dome running around rent free.
He's also a 23-year-old kid who's winless.
Shut up. He's getting too loud in my head. Yeah, good point. Good point. Good point. Shut up, Yaz, because I need my first win. I'm 0-5 with a 6. You know, like,
it's a strike zone. You're disrupting me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've always thought, look, if you're getting your sign stolen, that's on you. Figure out a better way to not get them stolen.
That's correct. Yep.
That's the bottom line. Hey, what's going on with the charity bash? Any new news?
Yeah, man, I've got some calls in to some guys. I know that I've got some of those guys coming. I think we got some. I think we're gonna have a Yaz signing there.
Ooh,
he's
nice.
Gonna come out there. I think Dickerson's gonna be there. I'll be working on Buster and Crawford here a little bit here in the next few weeks, and then I've got some veteran guys. I'm gonna start making some calls to here in the next not too far future. I made a call to Will the Thrill Man. He's just checking the schedule, making sure the Giants don't have him on assignment somewhere. But they may or may not. He wasn't sure, so he was checking on that. But I'm looking forward to it. Looks like we're going to have a decent showing of guys coming out, and that's going to make it fun. And I'll be very, very blessed if guys do come out, because they don't necessarily have to. They don't know me. I was never their teammate. So for them to come out, it's a big deal. So I'm pretty excited for it. But we are looking good. We're looking right on target.
Nice. And where do they go again? CharityBash.org?
The CharityBash.org, yep.
Nice. Go to CharityBash.org. Get your tickets. I've been there a couple times. It's a fun time. Good group of people. A lot of really good beer. And you get a lot of good Giant stories as well. And cool auction items as well. Stuff that you can't get anywhere else, you can get there. So definitely go to CharityBash.org and check that out. Jeremy, have a good weekend. Are you you in Washington? Or are you back in Texas now?
No, I'm still in Washington doing some R&D for the brewery. You know, research and development. Just,
the hats are cool, by the way.
What
the
other
hats
guys
are cool.
Doing.
Your new hats look pretty cool. I saw.
Oh yeah, we got
IG.
A whole line of those coming out. We're gonna have a whole new hat line coming out. It's gonna be pretty great with the hop head there. And I just got pictures sent of the brewery. It's cleaned out. They're about ready to do some of the underground plumbing for the fermenters, and so we're about to get ready to drop those in. So we're on target, man. I'm pretty excited. It's going to be awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I've been doing R&D on breweries for about a decade now. So I've still got some work to do. So I'm going to report back to everybody when I get there.
It's like the blue ribbon. It's gonna take a while.
Yeah, the book's going to be about 700 pages, so it takes some time.
I'm the blue ribbon panel of R&D brewing is what I'm doing right now. And I don't exist. Have a good weekend, Jeremy.
See you, Jeremy.
All right, guys.
All right, take it easy.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.